So thanks so much, Steve, for this opportunity to share the word with all of you. I'm going to be sharing this afternoon about the Ministry of Reconciliation, which is really cool. And just the day, like the topic of the day is awesome because I feel like I'm always doing, you know? And I don't know, I guess I don't stop sometimes, but thank God that I have the energy to do so. And thank God that he refreshes me and, you know, and keeps things together for me. So we're going to start off in Romans 6, 14. 14 and 15 in Romans. And while you guys turn there, I just want to give you a little background about myself. Ministry of Reconciliation. I grew up thinking that reconciliation was one of seven sacraments. That you had to like go, right? I'm not the only one. You had to go to church and there was this whole like process. And then, you know, you had to do like baptism first and communion. And it was really regimented. And reconciliation to me back in the day before I knew the word was having to go to like a priest and confess my sins. And this is like at the age of 10 years old, you know, I was young. And I was like, gosh, how many sins do I really have, right? But still, I had to do this in order to be reconciled to God is what I was taught. So we'd go to the priest, confess the sins, he'd tell us what to do. And then I thought to myself, I don't stand a chance. I'm 10. And I was like one of those 10-year-olds who was like really mischievous. And then I'd only see the priest on Sundays. So I was like, gosh, I have to wait till next week to be reconciled to God again. Like what? We're just never going to be in the same zone, let alone like in fellowship with each other, you know? And, you know, that's just not the way it is. But if you don't know, and we saw earlier Romans 10, 17, it's, you know, it's by hearing the word. If we don't know, and if we don't tell people, then how are they supposed to know? You know, they're taught something, and right or not, a lot of times it's what they believe, you know, because they've been taught that. So Romans 6, 14, I should get there too. Let's see. Ready? And it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace." You know, and I'm going to stop there on that one, just 14. What a relief. Sin does not have dominion over us, you know, and even sweeter and even more beautiful depiction of that. Let's turn to Psalm 103:12, middle of the book. Psalm 103 and in verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." All right, guys. Is the east ever going to meet the west? Anybody? Good. Yes. No, they're never going to meet because they're completely like they're polar opposites. And they just keep going infinitely in two different directions. And so, you know, refreshing. Isn't that refreshing to really know what God says about us and about our, you know, nature? And just he's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. And the Ministry of Reconciliation is the service. It's our responsibilities as Christians to bring people back to God. That's what it is. Now we're going to take a look at what the real Ministry of Reconciliation is, because it's not going and confessing and having to do some thing to work for God's grace, because we're, you know, we're saved by grace. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:18. And here's the good stuff, because it's the real stuff. This is the good stuff because it's the truth about God. Alrighty. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by whom?"
Jesus Christ.
"By Jesus Christ. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So the work has been done. It wasn't because we could by our own actions or, you know, anything. It wasn't that we had to fight and try to climb up to God and to get to into his good graces. It's already been accomplished for us, you know, and he did that for. He loves us so much that he's done that for us. And it was through Jesus Christ, right? In verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling what to himself? The world." The world. This is for the world to know. And this is for us to share it with the world. You know, this isn't just like people in this room, people in fellowship, people who, you know, are Christians, people. This is for the world to know. That's our responsibility, to bring it to them, to that platform, you know. "To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And this is cool. He committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's the decision that Patty was talking about earlier, the decision to like put the word on in our minds and to actually be doers of it. That's our responsibility. You know, he committed the word to us. He gave it to us. He's like, here, I'm going to commit this to you. I'm going to give you the responsibility of passing this along. You know, you guys are my voices here. You're my voices here amongst, you know, the people. And that's what we're called to do. So do we do it? Or do we like, oh, we're like, oh, that's a really nice word. That's a good word. You know, I'm going to stick it in my pocket and like save it for. No, it's great to use it for ourselves. Obviously, we need it, you know. But how many times do we come across a person or who do we meet a person that needs it too? And are we shy about it? You know, are we shy and like, oh, maybe I'm not going to tell them because they're going to be like, eh, I don't want to hear about your God or your great. But goodness, we don't have to shove it down their throats. It's not like you sit with somebody and open a Bible verse and are like, you know, ram it against them. No, we do it because of our behavior. We show them through our conversation, through our actions. That's what we, you know, be doers of the word. We do it, and then it turns people on. And then, I mean, who doesn't want to have, like, a great life, you know? So, but it's cool because when you have that, people see that. And they're just like, wow, you know, I want what you have. Do you know how many times, I know you know, I've walked into places and people are like, why are you always so happy? Why are you always so, you know, oh my gosh. And in my brain, I'm just like, it's God in Christ, you know, it's God in Christ in me, the hope of glory. But I'm just like, well, it's because I have God. And then if they're just like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, in God in Christ in me, in the hope of glory. You know, it's not just, I'm like, it's there's a lot to it. And you can have this too. You know, it's awesome. All right, so the word reconcile means to bring back together that which has been separated. So we were separated from God, and we are no longer separated from God at all in any way, shape, or form. We're not, you know, we're together with God. And so, you know what, let's see, in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. That's awesome. We're ambassadors for Christ. Do we walk around like we're ambassadors for Christ? I mean, you know, we should light up rooms when we walk in. That's what it means. When you have that type of representation and that type of presence, you know, like, I mean, we've had some funky presidents here and there, and then some have been great, you know, but if you, like, work for the president and you're an ambassador for, like, the United States and you walk into a place, people are going to know it because, you know, hopefully you're going to carry yourself in a way that is just very all telling, you wear it on your sleeve, like, this is who I am. And that's who we are in Christ. We have God in Christ in us. That's who we represent when we walk into a situation, when we walk into a room. And it's because we do the word that people see that. You know, we do the word, we put it on, and people see it. You know? And we give God the glory. It's not by us. It's not because, oh, I'm so great. You know, it's because God is great, and he works in us. Right? And in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. So there goes that whole sin thing out the window, you know, that it has any type of like rule over us, or that, you know, people who think that they can't come before God because they're not deserving, or because they're not, you know, because they're kind of a sinful folk and they have to wait until the day that they decide, oh, you know, I'm not ready to make that change yet to, like, give up sin. You know, we were just talking about being vegetarians and stuff, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a vegetarian. And my girlfriend was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And I, you know, so it's almost like, is that how it is with Christianity? Oh, you know, I believe Romans 10, 9, and 10. I have God in Christ in me. Bam. That's it. That's all it takes is Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now, do we sit there and are we like, but I don't know if I'm really ready. So it's there already. Whether you're ready or not, it's already there. Like, you know, God, it's there. Right? I could never be a vegetarian, by the way. And it's okay. God still loves me. You know, there was a time when I was growing up, like a couple years ago in the Word, and Steve would invite me to fellowship coordinator meetings, right? So at first, I was like, oh, man. That's where, like, the big wigs hang out. You know what I mean? I was just like, no, seriously, that's where the people who really know the scripture go. And that's where. But here I was. I did. I had a fellowship in my house. And, you know, I mean, I kind of, you know, a couple times I was just like, I talked myself, and I'm going to be honest, Steve, and I know I've shared this with you anyway, but, you know, I was just like, no, you know, I have other things to do, and it's going to be a little bit weird going there because I'm just not there yet. Hi. I have the Ministry of Reconciliation. Yes, I am. I am there. God already made it available. It's in there already. So it's not a matter of, like, You know, like, we should really prove him. Patty was talking about proving things, too. Prove him. Like, we are there. Hold on. We're going to do Colossians 1:20 first. Sorry, guys. That's next. Colossians 1:20. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you, us, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, when?
Now.
Now hath he reconciled. Now hath he reconciled. And I could kind of relate to that whole, like, you know, alienated thing. Like, it's not right. No, that is such a trick of the adversary. We are who we are in Christ. And it's for us to claim. It's for us to believe it. It's in there already. It's for us to put it on and to do it, you know? But part of that decision-making and the doing is the willingness. The willingness, just like the decision-making, is a person-by-person thing. Lance always says this thing, you know, a man that is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, you know? And it's the willingness. I could talk somebody to death and be like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. But you know what? Until they're actually willing to believe it and to do it, they're not going to own it. You know, it's not going to be theirs. It's going to be yours, and they're going to borrow it for a few minutes. No. You know, we need to own this. This is who we are in Christ. And it's a ripoff. You know, think about how many people get ripped off because they don't have the confidence to, like, you know, to stand before God, like, as righteous people. They have Christ in them, but they're just like, no, you know, I'm not there yet. Baloney. Because now are we reconciled to God, you know? And now let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:12. And this is cool, too. This is of the willingness, you know, the willingness behind it. All right, 2 Corinthians 8:12. Am I in the right place? Yes. Okay. For if there be first a what mind? A willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So what I had to go to these meetings, what I have to sit here before you, what I have to sit before a person who wants to know about God, or who I can show, you know, God's great love to, is willingness. You know, it's that willingness, and it's not according to what I don't have, it's what I do have. God makes up for what I don't have. You know, he fills in the blanks. He, like, you know, he's the one who puts the stop. You know, if something's leaking, he's the one that stops up those holes from and holds things in place and together for us. You know, it's not about what we don't. We could sit all day and make a list of what we don't have. And this is really fun. I mean, we really can. You know, you can sit there and just, it's, what don't I have? How about what we have? How about we start with that? You know, and do something with it as opposed, and then it becomes focus. Where is your focus? On what you don't have? On what you should have? What you could have? How about you get there and start with what you have, you know? Just an idea. So, you know, it's cool. The other day, I went down to First Friday down in Milltown, and you were there, Steph. You're everywhere, Steph. So we went down to First Friday, and Tim Gilmore was sharing the word, and we were looking at, which is where we're going to go next, Matthew 14. Let's go there, Matthew 14. We were looking at the life of Jesus Christ in like a couple of days, you know, and you want to talk about willingness and looking at a ministry of someone who like just really did the word like constantly, regardless of what in the world was happening in his life. He just did it, you know, Jesus Christ. All right, so Matthew 14, he was busy, busier than me and all of us wrapped up in one. And here's a record, and this is another thing, like, you know, just sitting there that day and just, you know, reading all of this at the end of the night, I was like, man, a lot of things happened in Matthew 14. I was like, and I've seen all the records, like, independently, because we've gone over, you know, Jesus Christ's cousin, John the Baptist, being beheaded, and, you know, we've looked at, you know, Jesus Christ walking on water, like, miracles. It was all in that same, like, time frame. Now, that's a lot of doing. That's a lot of, like, you know, work in one day. A lot of errands. Not even errands to run, just work to be done. I say errands, that's my life. But there's work to be done, you know? And he just did it. So in Matthew 14:16, we'll start there. And this is cool. This is of Jesus Christ's willingness, you know? But Jesus said unto them, unto his disciples, they need not depart. Give them to eat. He was talking about the multitudes of people that had been following him, that he was healing, you know, just like the multitude. You will see how many people. And he said, you know, he said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they were kind of like, the buck stops here, Jesus. You know, like, that's it. You know, this, we don't have food to give them. You're trying to, I mean, you've done, it's been a busy day. Your cousin just got, you know what I mean? A lot of things happened today. Like, you know, like, can't we just like clock out and just, we'll finish this tomorrow. You know what I mean? But no, because he was doing the will of God. Sometimes we get tired, right? But if there's a need, do it. If you're able to, do it. You know, if it's according to the will of God, and if it's not going to interfere with you, walk with God, which I'm still trying to work out. I'm like, all right, God, do I run and do 75? No, I mean, you have to be lined up with God, and it's a walk, right? And so here's the mirror. He's the tremendous miracles besides everything else that, you know, besides healing the sick. And in verse 17 again, and they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, where was he looking up to? To God. That's what we can do. When we have a need, where do we look to? To the left, to the right, to the person, you know, next to us, to a magazine, to an article? No, to God. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did how many eat? All. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And that's so cool. When the kids come to my house, I always have food because that's just like, you know, not, oh my goodness, it's in the teaching, right? There's the food thing. But I always have food. I'm like, these kids need to get fed, you know, like who knows if they've eaten or not, but just to have it available. And my grandmother used to always say, ¿Onde comen uno, comen 30? You know, like if one person's going to eat here, 30 people, we'll split it up, we'll divvy it up, everybody will get their share, you know? And I'm like, oh my, it was like a miracle in my grandma's house, you know? Like, it's awesome. And so, you know, this is God, right? And so here in verse 21, it says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. That's crazy. That's a lot of people. That isn't just like a little posse of like, you know, 20, 30. That's like 5,000 men, not including women and children. You know, it's a lot. And this is all in the day of Jesus Christ. You know, this is all in a couple days. And so now let's go to chapter 15, because it didn't stop there. You know, it didn't stop there. And with his ministry, it didn't stop. You know, he always did. He was a doer. He did the will of God. Right? And now in chapter 15, we're just going to scoot down to verse 32. And it says here, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Let's stop there. He had compassion on the multitude. He had just had like a crazy, harrowing, tumultuous day. But he found it in his heart to have compassion on the multitude. You know, that is so sweet. I mean, I've had things happen. All of us have had things happen where we really get knocked on our butts, you know. But does that like strip us of who we are in Christ? Does that strip us of like compassion? Does that strip us of? No, absolutely not. It's in there. Dig it on up and dish it on out, you know? And so it said here, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. He was concerned. He was concerned about them. And, you know, he wanted to do something about it. And it says here, and I will not send them away fasting. He was not willing to send them away with a need. He was not willing to see them walk out his door hungry. He was not willing. And these, again, he just fed 5,000 something people. You know, this is like different. This is like another case where he's feeding a whole bunch of people. And then it says here, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Weren't they just there? Weren't they just with him? Like, were they not just there with him? And see, and like we were sharing the other day at fellowship, right? We just forget so quickly. God completely takes care of us. We wear it on our sleeves. We share it with others. They see the glory. You know, we give the glory to God, and it's all because he does great things for us. But how quickly we forget, you know? We get delivered from great things, and then 2 seconds later, they're like, okay, that was done, but what about X, Y, and Z? And he's like, girl, I just got you from A to U, or V, or whatever comes before X, Y. You know what I mean? He's God. He's great. Man, okay, so we'll just continue on a little bit here. And his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto him, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And bam, it happened again. Not by his, you know, magic work. Not by his calculations of how much he had in the basket underneath the table. You know, there wasn't even a table because they were like on grass, it says. But you know what I mean? It's just because it's by God. It's like the miracles that God works, and it's how he works on our behalf. You know, he's a strong and mighty God. And that's awesome. And you know what? All right, let's go to Philippians 4:19 now, because people still have needs, right? People had needs back then. They needed to hear the word. They needed to get healed. They needed to be where the word was. And so they followed Jesus Christ for like days at a time, you know, and he fed them, which was really cool. But we have the word. We have that word available to us. And if it's not put on in your mind, put it on in your mind. Open up the book, you know, open up the scriptures, study it, put it on so that you have it to go to, so that you can like really, you can apply it in situations. So in Philippians 4:19, you know, I'm a pawnbroker. So it's funny, Patty was sharing metals of people biting it in the cartoons. I test metal like every day. That's what I do. I like sit there and I scratch gold, you know, like to test it, to see if it's real or not. But so many people come to me with like a need at my shop, you know, and besides having a couple dollars to lend them, I have a voice and I have Christ in me so that they can see, you know, to lend them if I may. And they can make it their own if they want, you know. But we have Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have that reality, and we have it to like share with people who don't know that, you know, because some people don't know that. Back to the willingness. I don't have a shortage of willingness, you guys. In my head, I feel like I'm some like 6'7" lumberjack with like a pickup truck. And if someone calls me like, we need to clear a forest, I'm like, yeah, I'm there. We'll clear the forest, you know. But yeah, right? But the reality is that I'm not. So I don't have what we hath not, that whole hath not thing. I hath not the muscle or the pickup truck. But you know what? I have the scripture and I have the word. And I have a God who shall supply all of your need according to his riches. Not mine, not what I have in my, you know, not my measly stuff, but according to God's riches. And it's an awesome thing. And we have this ministry of reconciliation. And it's our responsibility to share that with people, you know, to let them know. By what? By the love that we exude. And we should exude love. We should exude. And that's, I just want to talk about approach for a little bit. Let's turn to Romans 12:10. You know, approach. How do we approach people? Do we have a bad day and then in turn, like, take it out on them? And then act like, oh, I'm, you know, I love God. Really? You just treated me like crap. You know what I mean? Do you? That's not cool. That's not what we're called to. And this is my favorite part right here in Romans 12:10. Because this, I really love doing this. Let's see what this thing is. You guys are probably there already. But in Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, right? That is really, really sweet, you know? Like, it's just, be kindly affectioned one to another. And I just want to read the working translation of that. It's, be tenderly affectionate in brotherly love to one another. Take the lead in showing honor to one another. You know, take the lead. Have you guys ever heard somebody say, but I'm always the bigger person? Why do I always have to be the bigger person? You know what I mean? In situations, in relationships sometimes, at work, at school, at play, whatever. You know, oh my gosh, why? You know, I'm always the bigger person. You know what I do when I hear somebody say that? I immediately, like a magnet, I'm like, oh my gosh, so am I. I'm like, I'm drawn to them. And sometimes they say it with like sarcasm and I'm just like, oh, you were talking, you know, is that sarcastically? No, I'm really, I don't mind being the person who takes the lead on being compassionate. I don't mind being the person who takes the lead on being kind when someone else isn't. I don't mind. Jesus Christ didn't mind being compassionate towards people in, you know, like his, in some tough hours for him. You know, he didn't, he just did the will and the word of God. And that's what we have. That's the ministry that we're called to, you know? Let's see. All right, and this is about the food and my grandmother. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:18. 2:18. We're going to look at 18 and 19 in Ephesians. Gosh, is the time almost up? I feel like I could stay up here all day. People were like, are you nervous? I was like, no, I'll stay up there all day now. I know, Bob, you're next. And I'm looking forward to that. But Ephesians 2:18. My grandmother, when I was growing up, a lot of grown-up stories, right? I would go to her house after school. She lived in a senior citizen building, and when I got there, I'd have to, like, you know, be buzzed in. So I'd always get there with a friend because I just like to roll with people. You know what I mean? It's fun. It's like, it's a joy to, like, be with people. So I'd get to her apartment. I'd, you know, press her little buzzer, and she'd call down, Kenny, and I was like, it's me, and I'm with a friend. I'd always kind of give her a heads up. By the time, it didn't take like 4 minutes to get to 5K. It really didn't. By the time we got up to her apartment, I swear to you, if I was with a, there were two plates of food sitting at the table. You know, and she, hungry or not, she wasn't like, who is it and are you hungry? No, she was like, who is it and who are you with? And I was like, being a friend. We got up there and she served us with such love that my friends were like, oh, this is my grandmother too. You know what I mean? They were just like, it's not, she's not just your grandma, she's my grandma too. And she had this way of just making them feel like they were her grandkids too. They were part of the family. We are part of a family. It's beautiful to see all your faces from up here because we are part of a family. And this family is open admission to anyone who would believe on Jesus Christ. Open admission to anyone who wants to be a part of it, you know? So it's nice for us to make it look like it's because it is. It, not to make it just look like it's a good place to be. It is a good place to be, you know? But how we shine in this world and how we show people and how we act towards others and how we, you know, bring people back to God in a way that is just like not pressure and not like, you know, not like bogged down and not like religious and not, no, it's just by loving people, you know? So Ephesians, right? Did we read that yet? No, we didn't. Ephesians 2:18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. We aren't estranged. We aren't enemies. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, the separated ones, and of the household of God. That's the household that we belong to. I watch Game of Thrones. Anybody else? And I still get confused about the households. I'm like, who's where? Whose cousin is what? Whose uncle? Whose father is? But you know what? Forget about all those households. This is a household that we belong to. You know, when people went to my grandma's house, they were part of her household. When people come to our house, I'm not just talking about our house, like in our homes. I'm talking about in our space, in our presence. You know, how do we make them feel? Like they're part of our household? And if they're not, do we get like, you know, do we feel some kind of way if they don't want to hear the word? Do we treat them any differently? Does that give us a stamp of approval to be like, oh, they don't want anything to do with it? That person's not walking with God. That person wants nothing to. Does that give us the right to treat them any differently? Then no, we still love them up because they need it more. They don't know it, but they need it more. You know what I mean? It's real. And we don't do it out of like, oh, I'm doing it because God says I have to, and I'm, you know, I have this ball and chain like that I have to love people. No, it should be a joy. This word that we have is a joyous word, and we should want to, you know, like to really just love people up. And if they shun it and they don't want to have anything to do with it, then you know what? Not my choice. It's theirs, and it's that free will, and it's that decision making. But you know, the willingness on our part should be to bring them back to God. The willingness on our part should be to love them up. The willingness on our part should be to be doers of the word and not to stop, even when we get tired. And we're, my dog was put down yesterday, you guys. I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to like that. But you know what? Okay, look, I had fellowship yesterday at my house. I had, it's crazy, right? And we had him for 12 years, and he wasn't a regular dog. He was like my, some of you met him. he was like paid to watch me. You know what I mean? Like we worked him and he did like the Schützen work with the body people. And he was an attack dog. He didn't attack unless we said to, but he protected me for many years at my pawn shop, you know? And it was such a blessing from God to have had a pet like that. This is a pet. Imagine what God has in store for us. This is a freaking pet who can like watch our back. Imagine what God has in store for us, you know? And you know, I had fellowship and I went to work in the morning for a couple hours and I had something else to do. And I was like, is this going to get in the way of my walk with God? And it wasn't because I finished my teaching already. And I was like, you know, I can breathe. And someone else was teaching about my fellowship. And I was like, no. So am I able to do all these things that I set out to do today, even though it's a lot of them? Yeah, I was like, I am able to. I'm just going to, you know, get organized and I'm going to like hit one thing at a time and just take care of it. And was I a little sad? And I cried in the morning. You know, I was just like, oh, my pooch is gone. But you know what? This is the thing. Like, I have the word of God. And in times of sorrow and in times of like, you know, fret and in times of tribulation, I have the word of God to put on. You know, he shields me. I have him to like pick me back up again. I have him to be like, you know what? It's going to be okay. How soothing are those words? Have you ever been in a situation where all you need is for one person to call you or to hug you or to sit with you and say to you, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. You know? This ministry of reconciliation, tell people. When people come to my job, I'm like, I can't afford to pay my PSE&G. You know what I say to them before I test their gold? I'm like, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. You came here. You're in the right place. No God, you know what I mean? Like I got this connection that you would not believe. And so, you know, that's who we are. And you know what? It's not about our ability. Let's turn to 2 Peter, and I think I'm almost, you know, I think I gotta wrap it up soon, right? All right, 2 Peter 3:9. Went by fast. 2 Peter 3:9. So while sometimes we may be slack concerning things that we do and don't do, the awesome news is that we have this word to put on. This is the word. And the Lord is not slack in verse 9 concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. There's that willingness. Not willing that any should perish. Any should perish. It's for the world to know. It's for the world to know that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's really about, like, you know, just being brought back to God, just that change of heart, just changing your mind. You know, like somebody telling you about Romans 10, 9, and 10, and bam, there you are. Okay. And we're going to close in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And we should wear it, you know, ambassadors for Christ. It's a big title. It's a big responsibility. Are you willing to, like, put the work in? It's fun. It's not hard. You know what I mean? Like, when Patty said earlier just about that, it's simple. It really is simple. It's simple to love people. It is. It is. And, you know, if you don't have patience, pray about it. God can give you that, too. Matthew 5:14. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto that that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what it's about. You know, we are lights. Every single one of us is like a beaming light, like a beaming light. See yourself bigger. That's how God sees us. You know, we have God and Christ in us. Where we are, God in Christ is there. That's, you know, that's a pretty bright thing. So, you know, that's what I wanted to share. All right, guys. Love you.